Whether you're a pistachio purist who loves the experience of cracking them open, or you love the convenience of no-shell pistachios like myself, Wonderful Pistachios is the perfect healthy snack for when hunger strikes. And there are a bunch of tasty flavors to choose from too, like honey roasted, smoky barbecue, jalapeno lime, and more. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What up, what up, what up, good people?
Sirius XM Radio presents, in conjunction with House of Athlete, I Am Athlete Tonight.
I know I got my squad with me, former WNBA player, Trick Shot Goddess, everybody's favorite auntie Chantel Trimeter, and 15 years covering the Miami Dolphins as a beat writer, NFL columnist, my guy, Omar Kelly. How's everybody doing tonight?
We good, but you got to put award-winning columnist behind Omar's name. Like, we got to put, I ain't been on with my boy in a minute, nephew. I got to keep giving you your flowers. Come on,
man. I appreciate that. Appreciate that.
And hopefully we'll be talking about that Emmy for my boy Deuce, too. Come on.
Appreciate you, auntie. Oh, man, I know you've been at Miami's camp. How's it been?
Good. I'm enjoying it. It's my last few days of training camp. So I'm enjoying it. We got the joint practices next week in Tampa, and looking forward
to going to get your ass with a couple days then.
They gonna put you to work then, huh?
Yeah, right. No. Looking forward to seeing Tom being out there flirting with his team. You know, that tried to lure him.
He probably practiced one of the two joint practices. Probably that's it, huh?
Nah, Tom probably going to do all the joint practice.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely. Why would he not?
Because you know they already scripted in.
You act like he's going to get hit.
Right. Ain't nobody hitting him.
Why would you chance it, though?
Why would you not?
Come on. Well, I mean, because they already script him having days off during the regular week anyway. You know what I'm saying? So I figured a joint practice, I just need one if I'm Tom Brady. I don't need, you know, two of those.
Man, this is last preseason.
They've already had a few offensive linemen go down. Why chance somebody fall into the back of his knee? You know what I'm saying?
Ooh, don't put that out there in the universe.
Yeah, I'm not going to wait. I want everybody to be healthy during
the NFL is going to take care of the Golden Goose.
Right.
Always. Yeah. So, and even.
And should.
They know better. You're going to get
kicked. I hope so. You're going to get cut from your team if you hurt Tom.
Right. Man. You don't want to be the one that hurt Tom.
Yeah.
They're going to blackball you from the league for life.
Right. Right. You ain't going to be able to do nothing.
Yeah, well, let's get into the show. We got a real big show tonight. LeBron James
LeBron.
Is eligible for a 2-year extension.
Where are LeBron James sound at?
LeBron James.
Oh, look at Auntie doing it.
LeBron James. That sounded close.
He's eligible for a 2-year extension worth approximately $97 million.
Deserved.
But there are rumors that he's in no rush to sign it. We'll talk about that. Anthony Edwards says after this year, I will be in the best player conversation. Lord.
Sit down, y'all.
A lot of confidence. We'll talk about that. Will Julio Jones have a bounce back season in Tampa Bay this year and actually have more receiving yards than A.J. Brown? We'll discuss that. But first, Brittany Griner has been sentenced to 9 years in prison on drug smuggling and possession charges. Now, a Moscow court has found the WNBA star Brittany Griner guilty on drug smuggling and possession charges. As expected, that was the verdict that was going to happen. This comes nearly 6 months after she's been arrested. She has been sentenced to 9 years in prison. Now, during the sentencing, the judge said she found that Griner intentionally broke the law and also fined her 1 million rubles, which is about $16,700. The judge also said that Griner has served and the time that she served in custody will be added to what, you know, the 9 years is in February and would count towards the sentence that Griner has. Now, Griner reacted to the sentence with little emotion, listening to the verdict with a blank stare on her face. And as she was led out the courtroom, Griner said, "I love my family." Now, the WNBA The WNBA and the NBA had a statement regarding this sentencing by for Brittney Griner. And they said today's verdict and sentencing is unjustified and unfortunate, but not unexpected. And Brittney Griner remains wrongfully detained. The WNBA and NBA's commitment to her safe return has not wavered. And it is our hope that we are near the end of this process of finally bringing BG home to the United States. Now, Holly Rowe is the host of WNBA Central on Sirius XM NBA Radio. And she explained that this sentence was expected. This is what Holly Rowe had to say.
I think it's been hard news to hear for the players in the WNBA and people that I'm talking to, because it sounds like a lot. But we knew this was coming, and we always knew that it was going to be an unjust, ridiculous sentence. So what I want to, you know, point out and make people be sure to understand, we always knew this was coming. This was not a just trial. This is not the same legal system that we have here in the United States. This was for a play. This was a show that the Russian government wanted to put on in this case, and it had to reach its natural conclusion so more things can move forward. The United States has not changed their position. They still believe that she's being wrongfully detained. And I think that the statement that the NBA and the WNBA put out was very well done, because it said, well, this is still an unjustified trial and sentence. It was not unexpected. They never had any plans that Brittney Griner would get justice in Russia.
Now, Holly Rowe also updated us on a possible swap with Russia to bring Brittney home. This is what she said about that.
You know, under any normal circumstance, this is something that could happen diplomatically and happen quickly and quietly. When the WNBA players for the Phoenix Mercury played in Washington, D.C. recently, they actually got to go to a meeting at the State Department, and they met with the people who will be the ones to go into Russia and actually make the prisoner swap and bring her home. So they got a lot of really detailed information about what can happen moving forward. The only thing I would caution is that nothing is normal right now because of the war with Russia and Ukraine. And Russia can still continue to use this as a pressure point to demand more or to demand unreasonable things from the United States government. So, you know, it's all going to come down to what do they eventually demand, and is the United States government willing to negotiate with that request? I hope they do. She's an Olympian. I just need people to remember Brittney Griner has represented our country in the Olympics admirably. She is beloved internationally. She has represented the United States well. And I think it's just important to continue to put pressure on the administration and support them that this is unjust and they want her brought home.
Yeah, now that this sentencing has come out, hopefully we're closer to bringing BG back to the United States. Auntie, what was your first initial reaction when you heard that Brittney Griner was sentenced to 9 years?
You know, I mean, it's two sides for me, to be honest, and not really a popular side. But, you know, as BG, that's my homegirl. So, you know, here in 9 years, well, now 8.5. Mm-hmm.
For time
it's service. Tough, right? It's tough. I mean, y'all, look, when I was like 8 years ago, I didn't have insurance on my car. I let it lapse and I got arrested in Georgia. And I knew I was getting out. I was just in a holding cell for 3 hours and knew the same language that everybody else knew, chilling in Georgia, and I was scared out of my mind. And so there's no way. Oh my God, like 9 years in a Russian prison. And but
you, auntie, was about to tell us she did some time.
Yeah, I was like, no, three hours. And then I was like, okay, I didn't even have to dress out. But you know, I think we have to understand this. One, it's a tough situation. It's a tough situation for the Biden administration. You know, it's a tough situation for other families. There's a teacher over in Russia who had a half an ounce of marijuana who got caught last year. He's serving 14 years. No one's talking about him. But look, you know, I think it's becoming something that it's becoming more political, I believe, over here than it is over there, in that it is dividing our country even more. I mean, I'm looking at tweets today and people are calling Brittney a pothead and a drug addict and things like that. I mean, she was prescribed this medicine, right? Like I have to take medicine. I have to take pills every day because I had thyroid cancer. That doesn't make me a drug addict. Like I have to take them. But on the other hand, Brittany broke the law.
Yeah.
I mean, period. She broke the law. No one knows except her whether she intentionally put those vapes in her luggage or not. Like, no one knows. But at the end of the day, she broke the law. And I think we have to be careful as Americans. Mm-hmm. We're so cocky that we believe that our law should be everyone else's law in the world.
Our law and legal system is far superior to everyone else's law. And that's where I'm a little bit uncomfortable right now in this situation, Auntie, because I'm reading these statements and unjust and sentencing and wrongfully detained. Mm. I'm sorry. She admitted to breaking the law.
Yeah.
In Russia.
She broke the law.
Intentional, though.
I understand it wasn't.
But is it, though?
But yeah,
but you this is your seventh year over there.
Only Brittany knows.
Yeah. But they also said, you know, and I agree with you. I agree with you, Omar. Do I think that she got justice? Yes. I don't think that's unjustified. Do I think that's unfortunate? Yes. Yeah. You know, but there are other people over in Russia who have had less than a gram, right? Less than a gram. Mark Fogel, the teacher over there, had a half an ounce. That's 14 grams. So if he's 14 years, Brittany should have by numbers 14 times less than Mark Fogel. So she should be getting a year. Right. But at the end of the day, you're right. She broke the law and, you know,
in a country that's hard on drugs.
Right. That it was her seventh time going over there, too.
Yeah. And I'm glad you both said that. Right. Because I'm well traveled. Right. And being well traveled, being to many countries, I've been blessed to go to many countries, France. They, you know, no nonsense when it comes to drugs. Bahamas, no nonsense when it comes to drugs. Thailand, definitely no nonsense when it comes to drugs. In Russia, right? So you understand, and if you don't know, you look up these laws before you travel to that country, because yes, we understand that 9 years is harsh, right? And could she potentially be a political pawn? Of course, we know that,
right?
The law states in Russia, if you have a marijuana, you know, or drug offense, that the maximum, you know, sentencing is 10 years.
It's 10 years.
So they're well within their rights to hash that out. Now, again, could she be a political pawn? 100%. We understand what Russia
can do. And most likely is.
And most likely is. But to Auntie's point, right? Whether she did it intentionally or not, she broke the law. And this was the sentence that came down. Now, granted, then, you know, the next step for even, you know, Holly Rowe talked about this, if there can even be a swap, she had to get the sentencing done anyway, right?
Right.
First and foremost,
right,
for there to be a swap. So this is just the next, you know, thing the next chip that fell. We'll see what the process will be. And as far as her, you know, potentially coming home for a swap for somebody from Russia. But
well, they're asking for more. You know, the latest is, you know, we offered, you know, for Paul Whelan and Brittany Griner, you know, we'll give the arms dealer, but Russia came back and said, well, we want the arms dealer and a convicted murderer. And America said no. So, I mean, we just don't know. Brittany could be back in a week. Brittany could be back in a year, or Brittany could sit for 8.5 years. We just don't know. But I just think that the more, you know, one side talks about how she shouldn't be it. She's not an American anyway. She disrespected the flag. And like, you're going too far left. Right. You're going too far with that. She just doesn't agree with the national anthem, as do many African-Americans in this country. But that doesn't mean, oh, she needs to stay in Russia. Keep her over there. You know, and on the other side of the spectrum, look, hopefully she comes home. And at the end of the day, we all want her to come home. She's an American citizen, regardless of if she is an Olympian or not. Like, she's an American who broke the law. And right now she has to sit, but I feel bad for her, right? I feel bad for her family. And, you know, to be in a place where, you know, you're in another country and you just don't know when you're coming home. That's tough.
And Auntie, to your point, she's not just an American citizen and Olympian for the US. She's a superstar in Russia, right? I believe she's been
absolutely
how many years? 8 years.
Yep.
So they know her very well. She's well liked over there.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just a terrible situation.
But she's a political pawn right now.
Oh. Now she is.
She is.
If you're going to give her 9.5 years,
did we not expect her to be a political pawn, especially in the Ukrainian war, which Russia's offended that America is interfering with?
Right. But remember, she went over there 10 days before Russia invaded Ukraine. So she didn't know that this was going to happen. Right. And, you know, had Russia not invaded Ukraine, would they have stopped her? You know, is this the first time that she actually brought anything in? It might have been the first time she got caught. We just don't. There's so much we don't know.
Yeah.
You know, all you can do now is just pray that she's safe over there and that hopefully we can bring her home soon as a WNBA sister.
Yeah, we just hope that BG gets home soon and safely. This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I am your host, Lijay Dusable, with my squad, Auntie Chantel Trimeter and Omar Kelly. We were just talking about the 9-year sentence Brittany Griner got in Russia. Now, we push this conversation forward to talk about Roger Goodell and how he won't handle the Deshaun Watson appeal. Now, Roger Goodell has the power to personally handle the Deshaun Watson appeal hearing, but he will not be exercising that right. Per a source with knowledge of the situation, Goodell will not be handling the Watson appeal. He will use a designated person for this matter outside the league office. And according to Adam Schefter, that's going to be New Jersey Attorney General Peter C. Harvey, who will be Goodell's designee to hear the appeal of this disciplinary decision involving Deshaun Watson. Now, Harvey has served as a federal prosecutor and has deep expertise in criminal law, including domestic violence and sexual assault. Omar Kelly, at this point, would you be even surprised if Deshaun Watson takes a snap this season?
I've always said and always thought, and you know this, I've always thought that 8 games, at least half the season, that's not really half anymore, but
almost at half.
It's close.
Yeah.
Was my expectation when I saw that they got 6, I was like, oh shoot, this is relatively light here. Mm-hmm. If I'm Deshaun Watson, I don't even fight that. But you know, it puzzles me a little bit and surprises me that the NFL is going to fight back. I think this is more about saving face or putting on airs or giving this.
You think that the pressure from the public got to the NFL?
I think they always wanted, they've been fighting for years, suspension, and they always wanted it to seem, and this goes back to when they had pink jerseys and pink merchandise, like they care about women.
Right.
And I you could say whatever you want about the NFL. That's not really the truth. And they want this perception, like we care about sexual assault. So what have you done about Robert Kraft? Even though it's not really sexual assault, it's the exact same thing. And he was arrested for it.
Mm. Dan Snyder.
I don't even know if we could prove exactly what Dan Snyder did or what he participated in or what years, he encouraged or But yeah, I get where you're coming from, dudes. It's a very uncomfortable place, but you know, the NFL is all about perception, and they need women who support their league and buy their pink jerseys to think that, you know what, they're being hard on Deshaun Watson because they care about us.
Auntie, what did you think? Do you think Deshaun Watson plays at all this season?
I don't think so. You know, do I think he gets the whole season? I mean, based on what Amy Dash said earlier in the week, mm-hmm. If it's supposed to be 6 games for every offense and he's been found guilty of 4 of them, that should be 24 games.
Yeah.
And so, you know, say in a year, that saves, I guess, face for the NFL. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, this was 25 women. This wasn't 2 to 5. This was 25 women. And, you know, they only brought 4 of them, right, to the table. I guess the 4 that they thought would be the easiest, you know, open and shut cases. Right.
Yeah, correct.
Right. But you know, I had to agree with Omar. I do think that the NFL wants to save face. And but they come on now. You know, they don't care about women.
While I agree with you, Auntie, you bring up the 25 cases. We got to mention that there are 25 cases that the legal system, the justice system said cannot be prosecuted.
Yeah.
Well, that's that, but that's what I'm saying. But the NFL
is hard to prove.
But the NFL, it's not a matter of guilt or innocence in the law. That's personal conduct. Yeah. Right. And if 25 people say that you acting an ass, mm-hmm. you probably is an ass. And if 25 women are saying the exact same things about this young man, then, and I think the NFL like also wants to put in there that he has to seek treatment, right?
They do.
Like Judge Robinson just said, he can only get massages. He can still get massages. They just have to be massage therapists.
Well, she said, I believe they have to be conducted at the team facility. Yeah.
Right. But the NFL is like, yo, we want him to get help. Like treatment. Yeah. So, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it hurts the Browns, I think, more than anybody. Yeah. But it's a business. The NFL is going to make their money.
And I think the Browns still sold a lot of season tickets.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, like you said, if women are supporting the NFL and you got to keep that fan base as well, you got to appease the women. But at the end of the day, I think it's the right thing to do. I think at least going after, you know, saying we want him to be suspended for 18 games and then the judge only comes back with 6, the NFL is going to be like, nah, we're going to appeal that. Now, that's a slap in the face. You gave him 1/3. So,
well, to your point, Auntie, supposedly there was a report before the 6-game suspension came out. I believe it was Dove Kleiman that said that the NFL came to Deshaun Watson and his people and said, you know, we'll give you 12 games, a $10 million fine. And Deshaun Watson turned it down. I think I think a part of that was him going to, you know, to a therapy session, you know, as part of that deal. And he turned it down. So honestly, I know me and Omar have always said 8 to 12, we thought would be the place where he would be at. And I told you guys, I had been talking to more and more people and they're saying, don't be surprised if it's 4 to 8. And sure enough, the 6-game suspension came out. So talking to Amy Dash yesterday, we had her on the show. She was saying that maybe possibly, you know, behind closed doors, they could still maybe work out that deal. And maybe, you know, Deshaun Watson takes the 12 million. I mean, the 12 game suspension and maybe the $10 million fine. We'll see that. Let's talk about the football ramifications of this situation. Omar Kelly, I know you're in the media.
Yeah.
Like this for the Browns has got to be a distraction for the prolonged future, right?
I mean, but they knew what they were getting into. Don't act like it's been a
distraction. Yeah, but I think it's different for the players. You know what you're signing up for, but when you actually go through it, it's a little different. When you're getting asked every day about it, it's one thing in the offseason, but during the season when you're trying to prepare, it's a little different.
I covered a Dolphins team in I can't remember the year, but it was the Bullygate year with Jonathan Martin and Richie Incognito, and CNN was in our locker room for a month and asking, you know, very uncomfortable questions about, you know, player behavior and interactions. And I don't remember that impacting them from a win-loss perspective because they just zoned in and rallied together. Now they sucked, but you know, I cover the Dolphins. They suck. And in fact, I think that year they finished the season. They were in position to make the playoffs in December and then they tanked and might have lost to your Buffalo Bills. And I think players find rally points around various things. To me, it really comes down to the caliber of quarterback that's going to be replacing Deshaun Watson. And you know how I feel about
that's your favorite quarterback in the league.
You know how I feel about Jacoby Brissett. We wasting time and seasons over here. So, players are probably looking at this more so along the lines, do we really got to play with Jacoby? Can we go out there and get some Jimmy G?
Maybe. Monty, you know, as a player that played a long time in the WNBA, how do you think this affects the locker room going forward?
You know, I mean, it has to be tough knowing they knew something was coming down, right? Like Omar said, they knew something was. But to, you know, hear the 6 games and then, you know, they're like, all right, let's just get through these 6 games, which, you know, coincidentally, they have the easiest schedule in the league, the first 6 games of the year. And so, you know, they're happy. Let's get through it. And now the NFL is coming back. So now you don't know when Deshaun's going to come back. You don't know how long he's going to be out. You know, it has to be tough, but they also have to know, look, hey, we got to rock with who we have. Because, you know, they can't go 0-6 in first 6 games. They can't go, you know, 2-8 the first 10 games and then have any chance, obviously, in the AFC North.
I think this season is gravy. I think whatever happens, the season is gravy. They know they got Deshaun Watson for the next, how long was his contract?
Unless they give him an indefinite suspension, then he got to appeal to come back.
Right.
So, yeah, that's a whole.
Well, then you got to understand this. Then also understand this. Like, Deshaun Watson is a great player, right? Yeah. But if he's out this year, he hadn't played football in two years.
Two whole years.
And you got him $229 million after this $1 million this year, guaranteed, bruh.
Yeah.
That's just like the Browns' decision. Like, he'll sit out another year and then come back and be trash, but they owe him $230 million.
The Dolphins did their courtship of Deshaun, and truthfully speaking, at the trade deadline where they got cold feet, they should have pulled the trigger on it and just dealt with the ramifications of it. When you got a chance to get an elite quarterback, go get an elite quarterback. Even if
we be trashing the Dolphins right now, just like we trashing the Browns.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. I believe Deshaun Watson has one more day to file if he wants to go to federal court and fight this and try to get an injunction. But talking to Amy Dash yesterday, it seemed like it'd be hard pressed for him to even get that injunction. So we'll see what the next 24 hours brings when it comes to Deshaun Watson. And then also with Peter C. Harvey, what his decision will be as far as how much he will suspend Deshaun Watson for this upcoming season.
Yo, 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 this is Brandon Marshall here to talk to you about some of my favorite things to eat. The carb fear is real, but carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. The soft, fluffy experience you love when enjoying a refreshing BLT, savory breakfast burrito, or mouth-watering cheeseburger. Something for every craving, including sliced bread, loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the 2 gram net zero hero croissant or the 1 gram net carb hero cheddar biscuit. Don't give up being a bread head. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code athlete at checkout. That's athlete at hero, hero.co.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. The Active Cash Credit Card is ready when you are. With unlimited 2% cash rewards, the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, that's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/active cash.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Welcome back to I Am Athlete. Tonight, I am your host, Lee J. Doosable, with my squad, Auntie Chantel Trimeter and Omar Kelly. Shout out to the Falcons Radio on Sirius XM for their last call against the New Orleans Saints. And then also, courtesy of NFL Radio, Arthur Smith talking about Marcus Mariota getting his chance with the Atlanta Falcons. And speaking of countdown to kickoff, today, guys, officially, football is back. Now, the Hall of Fame game with the Jacksonville Jaguars versus the Las Vegas Raiders was slated to kick off already, but they're in a weather delay, so we'll have updates for you if that game happens to kick off while we're on air. But you heard it. It's time for countdown to kickoff. Now, our countdown to kickoff segment, we feature one team, really lock in the laser in on them as we prepare for opening night between the Buffalo Bills and the Los Angeles Rams. And today, that team is the Atlanta Falcons. We heard from Arthur Smith, their head coach, earlier. Marcus Mariota is getting a chance to be a starter at quarterback again, but the team also drafted Desmond Ridder in the third round, the quarterback out of Cincinnati. They took their receiver. They needed a true number one guy after Julio Jones left last year. They took Drake London from USC in the first round. We knew Kyle Pitts. They had him last year. They took him in the first round. He's a tight end slash receiver. Had over 1,000 yards receiving. Cordell Patterson, is their weapon X. He had over 1,100 yards between rushing and receiving last year. They got a pretty good tandem at the cornerback position. A.J. Terrell is a Pro Bowl corner. Casey Hayward has been a Pro Bowl corner. He signed in free agency this year. Arnold Ebuketie, a guy I really like out of Penn State. They took him in the second round to get after the quarterback. And they brought Rashad Evans over from the Tennessee Titans. Now, you know, Arthur Smith and Dean Pease were both at the Tennessee Titans. Dean Pease is the defensive coordinator. So Rashad Evans is comfortable in that system. Omar Kelly, does Marcus Mariota finish the season as the Falcons starting quarterback?
I don't think that he will. I think look at the Falcons as a rebuilding team. He's a bridge quarterback. When you lose your job to Ryan Tannehill, and this is no shade to
Tannehill. Nah, you throwing shade.
Listen, I'm trying to be as gentle as I could put it. Ryan Tannehill is right there at the baseline for average quarterbacks. He is the line. He is the habitual line.
So what number would you put like an average quarterback as far as number wise in the league?
18.
He's at 18. He's 18 to 22 mark.
Nah, you 18. You 18. Everybody under 18. We could go 18 to 24 is about, you know, average.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I said 18 to 22 is average.
Yeah. Marcus Mariota, I think he's in the back of the pack. He's even past 24. I mean,
oh my God.
Oh, well, come on.
It's tell Marcus, us how you feel.
It's Marcus Mariota when he started for the Tennessee Titans.
They did go to the playoffs.
They weren't good. I mean, they've been going to the playoffs.
Cannot go to the playoffs and not be at least decent.
Look at that division. Look at that division.
Routinely bad.
Yeah. It's routinely bad. It's the trap. It's
going to be bad this year.
It's the dumpster fire division of the entire NFL. Nobody wants to be good over there. Houston, no.
I think Indy wants to be good. They're just hoping that Matt Ryan can keep it together and just not lose games, you know?
Yeah.
Which he routinely doesn't do. So I think that's the perfect quarterback for them.
And I think I have a respect for Marcus Mariota. I just think he has he has a weak demeanor. He's weak leadership.
That's how you feel.
He's
right.
He's one of those quarterbacks that relies on his athleticism, has the arm, but just can't put it all together.
He gonna put it together this year. Why are you hating on him?
With Arthur Smith?
Auntie, I know you live in Atlanta. You follow the Falcons. We know you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, but
absolutely, let's get that straight.
That's why I wanted to put that out there, Auntie. I know you was about to give me. I saw the look in your eye. I ain't want no smoke. But we know that you know what's going on with the Atlanta Falcons. Do you think Marcus Mariota finishes the season as the starting quarterback?
No, the end. Next question.
Well, let's get to the next question.
Let's go to the next
one. Which non-quarterback on the Falcons team do you think is most vital to their success, i.e. Kyle Pitts, Cordero Patterson, Drake London, or is it the corner A.J. Terrell?
You know, I think it's two of them. I think it's Kyle Pitts, obviously, and Drake London. Look, everybody knows what kind of player Calvin Ridley is for the Falcons, right? He's a dynamic. He can run routes. Yeah. But he does lack one thing, physicality. So he's not going to give you what a Julio Jones gave you, right? Yeah. That's not a knock on his play. He's an amazing player. He's just an electric. He's an electric playmaker.
Yeah.
But they need a Kyle Pitts. If you to answer the question, one player, I think it's going to be Drake London. You know, this kid is 6'4" out of USC, and he's just but he's a baller, and he's going to be one of those players, dudes, that I think he's a better NFL player than he was a college player.
Right. That's fair.
The issues with him is, can he stay healthy, right? He had issues with that at USC.
Right.
Hurt last year and missed almost a whole year earlier in his college career.
Right.
The thing is also the Pac-12. Oh, well, you know this. To me, that's not real football.
No, it's not.
And the times he played, yes, he dominated. But if you look at the corners he played, none of those dudes are in the league. Like I was praying that SC had Washington on the schedule because both of those dudes, they some guys. Like McDuffie went in the first round to Kansas. I wanted to see him play against those guys, and we never got to see that.
But aren't you making my point though? That would make him the most important player because if he doesn't come and play.
Yeah, 100%. Especially because they took him in the top 10. Yeah.
Right. If he doesn't come to play, then their wide receiver core becomes average because you push everybody towards Calvin Ridley.
Playing at a high level anyway.
Right. And they don't have the greatest quarterback in the world. Yeah. Anyways.
Well, to me, and I'll let you go at the Cordero Patterson, man, just because what he does for that offense. Again, I talked about it, over 1,100 yards. together combined with rushing and receiving yards. I believe Arthur Smith was finally the first coordinator to really use his skill set. Like, dude, when this dude went in the first round to Minnesota, I thought he was going to be the chosen one because the way he's built, bro.
He's like a bigger Debo Samuel.
Bro, he's like 6'4", 235, but running, auntie, like running.
Yeah.
He's been known for his special teams and kick return and punt return, but this was the first time, and it sucked that it had to be like year 9 or 10 for him, right? Arthur Smith was finally able to get all that out of Cordell Patterson, and I'm so glad he found an offense that can cater to his skill set.
You know what's funny that you say that, and I do believe that he is the key to their offense. I remember when he was coming out into the draft, and I was talking to some people in the NFL, and I was like, this guy is like really a freakish athlete.
Bro, he's not human. Yeah.
But he was intellectually challenged. And
it's football.
I mean, by year 9, and that's what I think, you know, what I was trying to say, by year 9 of so many offenses and so...
Because he's put it together mentally.
He's been in 9. He's been, you know...
He's learned a lot of different offenses.
He's learned a lot of different offenses, and they've just gotten to the point where it's like, okay, we're going to give you the ball. We're going to give you the ball at running back. This is the first team that's ever really doing that. And then we're going to move you out and put you in the slot and put you in motion and have you play this Debo Samuels-esque role. Right. And it's worked for them.
Yeah. Well, we'll see, man. Again, to me, I think Cordero Patterson, to me, is the most vital, you know, person to the Falcons' success, at least on offense, besides the quarterback. Now, this defense, let's go over to the defensive side. I talked about A.J. Terrell and Casey Hayward being really – two really good corners, right? But this defense was atrocious last year, right? They gave up 27 points per game. And Omar Kelly, they only got 18 sacks last year. Like, for people that don't know, there's only 17 games in the season. You only had 18 sacks.
T.J. Watt had more sacks than the team.
Literally had more sacks than the whole team combined. So that is an area of emphasis. They tried to really, you know, rectify. They went and took Otto Ebiketie. To me, was the best pure pass rusher in this draft as far as his hand usage. Mm. He'll be an outside linebacker and be able to go get after the quarterback. But, Auntie, do you think this defense takes a step this year? I mean, ain't nowhere to go but up.
They have to. You know what I'm saying? If you're backed against the wall and you're in the dark, where's the only place you're going to go? You got to go forward. You can't go backwards anymore. And that's where they are. Like you said,
and cry up, roll up like a little ball.
Right. You got to the quarterback one time a game. Average one time a game.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I disagree, you know, dudes. I don't see how.
You don't see how they can get better, huh?
No, I didn't say they're going to take a step forward. I just said they don't have a choice. Like,
I always come here and tell you this. It's a bunch of NFC teams that's tanking. That's
you think they're going to get? Well, hell.
They're not even trying.
You think this is
a tank special.
The Falcons are tanking?
Yes, this is a tank special.
They won 7 games last year.
And they traded away their franchise quarterback, the best quarterback in franchise history.
Damn. Well, that ain't saying much.
I mean,
what is that with the Matt Ryan hate? There's been a lot of that the last few years. Matty, exactly. I can still sling the rock, man.
Matt can sling the rock till it get to December.
So that arm is worn out right there.
Till them playoffs, then I don't know who shows up. Matt crying. I don't know who it is, but
yeah. I think he's average too. But yeah, I really don't see the talent on this team for them to win. I think they're gonna be in the running to be picking number one and getting themselves an Alabama quarterback.
Wow.
I don't even think he goes number one. I think it's CJ Stroud.
Yeah, I think CJ has a bigger upside.
Mm-hmm.
But I know we talked about the most vital piece, but who do you think is the most important piece, Auntie, for them to have success this year?
The fans.
They don't show up at all. They're going to just start showing up at all.
The most important piece of the Falcons, to be honest, is their total losses, the number of losses, because that will show them if they can get CJ Stroud or not, period. Because they're going to be sorry. Like, they're going to be the worst team in that division. It is what it is. Like Omar said, they're just not a very talented team. They have some talented players. You have a Calvin Ridley. You have a Patterson, you know, but you don't really have a great quarterback that's going to get on the ball. You don't have a great defense. And you know, it's just how many games they're going to lose. And if they lose more games than anyone else, that's the most important part of what's going to happen with the Falcons.
The end. What do you think is the most important piece?
It has to be Mariota, because I'm, you know, this is a guy who should be at the point where he needs to resurrect his career. If Marcus Mariota doesn't feel desperation to play well, to maximize his opportunity playing for his former coach and Arthur Smith, and he just comes out there and goes through the motion and doesn't show any attitude, any demeanor, any moxie, doesn't have that C on his chest, hasn't commanded the locker room and opens up the door for Desmond Ridder, that season's over.
Yeah. Desmond Ridder going to be starting game 6.
Dang, honestly, you don't
Desmond Ridder can play half
the season. Yeah,
they sleeping on Desmond Ridder. Like, Desmond Ridder can play.
You
know what's going on, me.
And I think Arthur Smith, him playing under Arthur Smith, like you said, you think that Arthur Smith can bring that out of Mariota.
Yeah,
they're the same type of player, but Desmond Ridder is more athletic. He's bigger. He's stronger.
Yep.
I don't think he's as accurate.
Mariota.
I don't think he's as accurate.
Okay.
But Desmond Ridder, game 6. I hope we're talking about this week 6.
I'm going to say the most important piece to me is Dean Pease, the defensive coordinator. Again, Ante, we talked about it, right? 27 points a game you gave up, right?
Mm.
Could not get to the quarterback, and that's on the defensive coordinator. If you don't got the thoroughbreds up front to rush and get to the quarterback, you got to find ways to send pressure to get to the quarterback. You got two really good corners, A.J. Terrell. We know he's going to hold it down for you on one side. And then Casey Hayward is, you know, he's not as young as he used to be, but he's still a really good corner in this league. So it's on Dean Pease, honestly, because, I mean, the offense has no chance in hell if you're giving up 27 points a game. You're not going to win many games doing that. So Dean Pease, to me, is the most important piece on this Falcons team to see if this you know, Falcons defense can take another step. To Anthony's point, they have no choice. I mean, they could get worse. Honestly, they could. We've seen teams get worse. And again, on the roster, it doesn't show like they made too many improvements. All right, they brought Rashad Evans in from the Titans, and they also brought Casey Hayward in. But, you know, Arnold Ebiketie is going to be a rookie. Are you going to make him your designated rusher from day one?
You know,
a rookie. I mean, that's tough sledding for that kid, because he's going to be expected to be the guy on the edge.
Well, they can go number one in the draft and get Will Anderson out of Alabama, because he's going to be a player.
That's actually a good discussion. So if you are the Falcons, right? And, you know, I mean, obviously you want the quarterback, you know, for the future. And say you go number one or number two because you have a terrible season. Do you take a guy like Will Anderson, or do you take the quarterback CJ Stroud?
I mean, you got the worst team in the league.
You have to take the quarterback.
I think you take Will Anderson.
Last year?
I think you take Will Anderson because I think Desmond Ridder is going to be a player in this league.
Championships.
And you just picked the quarterback. Like, and yeah, and but Will Anderson is going to be he is a player, and he has the potential to go. He
probably went top three.
The what?
If he would have came out last year, he probably would have went top three.
Right. He could go one.
Yeah.
Depending on what team needs what.
Omar, it's different.
Different.
I'm just referring to the quarterbacks in this draft. You know, this is a league where quarterbacks move the needle and they move the dial. They sell the season tickets.
Yeah. Well,
Desmond Ridder.
I ask you this: if Desmond Ridder has a Davis Mills like season, what do you do?
You got to go after Will Anderson.
Yeah, that's a tricky one.
You can't grab a quarterback the next year.
I think with an apathetic fan.
Look at the situation they in.
No, well, they just paid a quarterback.
Just got paid.
Josh Rosen's barely hanging on to the league. I hear he's horrible right now. Where's
he's in Cleveland, right?
Yeah, Cleveland. Yeah, which is not a surprise to me. but it's I don't know. I think with an apathetic fan base like the Atlanta Falcons, you need that quarterback to buy in and believe in. And Ridder's got to win. Ridder's got to deliver a winning season. And if he does that, they won't even be in position.
A winning season? Come on. That's like Davis Mills.
That's a lot.
Okay. He's got to deliver at least 5 wins.
Okay. I could give you that.
All right.
I don't even know if Davis Mills did that last year.
No.
I
think what's his name?
Good.
Who's in? Trevor Lawrence didn't give you hardly any wins.
No,
he went number one overall, and they didn't go get another quarterback.
He's gonna be there.
So, you know, but Will, I'm telling you, go watch some film. Will Anderson Jr.
Yeah, he's different.
He's gonna go top three and depending on what the number one team wants. Cause they want somebody on defense. He's gonna be the first defensive player off the board.
Yeah, say Jacksonville is trash again. You know, then
right. Do you get a quarterback?
No, they're gonna keep Trevor Lawrence. Do they go defensive end again back to back? When they just took Trayvon Walker. But I mean, you can't pass up on a guy like Will Anderson, right. though.
They weren't the worst offense in the league, but they damn sure were the worst defense.
Yeah.
Man, and it's not going to matter how good your offense is if your defense is trash.
100%. So that's why, again, to me, I think the most important piece is Dean Pease, the defensive coordinator. I know, you know, talent wise on paper, it doesn't look like he has much to work with, but they got to do something because
King
average giving up 27 points a game and think you can win.
What's up with your boy? You look down low? Yeah, you look down low?
I Am Athlete Tonight is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. Support I Am Athlete Tonight with a 5-star rating and by leaving a review. That's a big deal, guys. Stop being lazy. Pick up your phones and leave a review and give us a 5-star rating. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Want more? Catch the full 2 hours of I Am Athlete Tonight weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Mad Dog Sports Radio, SiriusXM Channel 82. Go to SiriusXM.com/IAA Tonight trial to start your free trial today.
SiriusXM Podcasts.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.